Welcome to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you could join us today. Remember what Courage Cocktail is all about? Finding new medicine for vexing problems. Well, today we are returning to the beloved topic of social media. Again? Yes, again. And here's why. Did you know that social media is quickly becoming girl territory? News came out yesterday from the Pew Fellows that social media is being used among women more than men in most channels. The one channel that men are dominating is in LinkedIn, but other channels are all women, or predominantly women. Now, many of us may not be using these channels, especially our listeners who really love radio, who'd say, we don't need it, we have radio. Well, stay with us for the show. The whole arc of today's program is about telling a great story. The vehicle may change, but the methods and the keen minds that drive plot to a great narrative, well, guys and ladies, that's as stable as Sophocles. It's all about revealing an honest portrait, one that contains vulnerabilities. Here's the backstory and some of the data points that may help you establish the context. The attribution was published in entrepreneur.com, and it only came out recently. The stream came out yesterday, in fact. So some of this news is really new. So let's open up. I'm going to deliberately start reading some facts to you, and I'm deliberately slowing my cadence. Don't worry, I'll return to my usual New York speech, but for the time being, I want you to absorb this. And I'm doing this on the benefit of my guests, too. So here we are. How women use the social media. 76% of women use Facebook versus 60% of men. Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R, 54% women, 46% men. Pinterest, this is no surprise, 33% women and 8% men. Instagram, 20% women, 15% men. Twitter is pretty close, 18% women, 17% men. And LinkedIn, 19% women, 24% men. Now hold on, there's some more stuff here that you need to hear. There are more social media, two times more women go to social media during the course of the day. 30% of women return to social media, whereas 26% of men use social media about twice a day. Now, women are more likely to interact with brands in social media. What does that mean? 54% of women versus 44% of men will show support of a particular brand. Going into this other world, women tend to consume more news through social media than men. How much more? 58% of women will consume news for social media. 42% of them will be men. And when you compare the numbers, Facebook versus Google Plus, 58% of women consume news on Facebook, 42% on males on Facebook. And this is the digit that really will surprise you all. On this network called Google Plus, which is going to be our target today, 52% of women are out there versus 48% of men. And it may be numbers that are just categorically consuming news, but we're going to get to the bottom of that. Now, I hope I didn't drive you insane with all those statistics. What I was trying to do is give you a backstory. Now, rather than take a blurry picture from 30,000 feet above sea level, today's Courage Cocktail is going to be centered on one channel, and that's Google+, but with two wonderful voices. Jesse Wodillo, a new media expert. Jesse has over 500,000 followers in his circles, which is also belovedly known as followers. That means that when he writes something, 500,000 people see it. That's pretty good distribution for a newspaper, and as far as I'm concerned, it's remarkable for social media. I don't know how something like this happens, and we're going to find out with Jesse's help. There is another dynamic that's changing the way we tell a story. Now, since Jesse is so insightful about the Google Plus channel, a fact that he will self-effacingly deny in public, he will be able to explain to us how it's different, what's working, and what may need tweaking. Another guest, another voice, is very special, and her name is Lauren Sutton. Lauren is an undergraduate at UNC, which is the University of North Carolina, here at Chapel Hill. She is a pre-med student and a writer that's embedded inside a scientist's mind. We hope that these voices will help us build your courage cocktail, tell a remarkable story. And in the process, without knowing it, you're going to learn a lot about how Google Plus works. So I'd like to welcome our guests. Welcome, Jesse, and welcome, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That took a little bit longer to build you up, getting into the show, but those statistics kind of surprised me. So what I'd like to do is kind of ask Jesse to serve as the expert today. And Lauren, you're going to be our guest with guts. What I'd like to do, Jesse, is can you tell me a little bit about the Google Plus platform and tell me how it's working, how it's different, just so presuming that our listeners are very new to this stuff.
Okay, I will. This is something that I get asked at least 10 times a week. What is Google Plus? And some people say, is it a blog? Some people say, do I just share photos? Some people say, is it like Twitter and I just announce what I'm doing? And Google Plus is different from all the other social networks in that it is all-encompassing. It is the social layer of Google. So the intention of Google was to create a social layer where people could connect on all the Google products without having to log in under different accounts. If you remember back in 2011, all those years ago, you had to have a YouTube account, you had to have a Gmail account, you had to have an Android account, you had to have a Google Maps account. Mm. All these different passwords and logins was very clunky and it wasn't easy. So if I found a YouTube video I really liked and I wanted to share it on Gmail, I had to log out of YouTube and log into Gmail and share it with my friends. Well, Google said, we need to layer this all together where Jesse can just share this YouTube video with his circle of friends that want to see it. So if there's a video for Courage Cocktail, I can create a circle on Google Plus of people that listen to the Courage Cocktail and share it directly from YouTube. This is not available on any other social network. They're all limited. Instagram is only photos. Facebook is mostly friends. Facebook, it's hard to integrate some of the off-network capabilities. Twitter is limited to 140 characters. Pinterest, you can only pin photos. You can't pin a long paragraph. You can't just write that. You have to find a photo to pin. So this is the opportunity that Google saw, they created, and now they're weaving it into all Google products.
I can tell that you're answering that question 10 times a day because that was, you really did help me and understand the scale and it's the skin. It's almost like putting on a garment. It's like a jacket with sleeves and a collar and a back, buttons. It's all one garment. And that lends itself to the seamless experience. And it's sure as heck much easier on our little smartphones when we access one little place and get all this stuff. So now that we are getting closer to understanding this thing, I'd like you to tell me a little bit, Jesse, about what it is you do on this Google Plus. You have some beautiful photographs out there. Tell me a little bit.
I like to call myself a content creator. Mm. And one of the biggest concerns I have with social media today, and you kind of mentioned it in your introduction, is it's a lot of consumption and not a lot of people providing information, which is fine, but with Google Plus, I jumped on Google Plus because I saw that it was content creators. It was people who actually took photos. It was people who actually wrote the articles. It was people who did a radio show. They weren't just stealing it from somewhere else and resharing it. They were creating it themselves. So I saw the opportunity to help businesses create their own content, their content for them to have, you know, taking photos from behind the scenes, creating podcasts and audio bites to rank on SoundCloud or any of those, creating YouTube videos of their face, so with a personal injury lawyer or a doctor or a dentist answering a question, you know, if I have a cavity, how long does that take to get my cavity filled? And when you watch the YouTube video of a dentist telling you, that means something to a customer. Whereas if you just go to Google and search need cavity fills, you just see links. But then you see a doctor doing a video on it. That is how business is done. And, you know, word of mouth marketing will forever be popular. And that's the way I see social media. And I am the conduit that helps businesses reach their customer through search and social media.
All right. Now I have to use the S word, and that's search. This is the all-driving battery pack. Kids, it's kind of like the Jetsons. You throw your kid a little backpack and you can fly. That's what the search means. When you hear search, and for those among us who aren't necessarily all that fluid in it, it means that when you go to the internet, you plug in something in Google, and I assume it's Google, but it could be Yahoo, it could be other things. Something shows up first. That's the secret of this Google Plus, isn't it?
That is. That is.
Is that the secret sauce?
The secret sauce is that it does affect search. And that's something that recently one of the basically the higher ups of Google search, a Google spam expert per se, has said publicly that Twitter and Facebook do not affect search results. So when that came out, you know, all these businesses are like, I'm spending a lot of money and time and energy on Facebook and Twitter, but I want to rank in search. When I provide a service that people search for, they don't necessarily go to Facebook to find a dentist. They don't go to Facebook or Twitter to find a lawyer. They go to search in their time of need, and they search have cavity, need help, or cheapest place to get an affordable lawyer, whatever.
Jesse, you've just changed the name of my show. It's called The Crisis Cocktail.
Yes, that's right. That's what it is. You need courage to go to the dentist. You need courage.
All right, so you're telling me it's crisis-driven, and it's effectively managing that kind of spot-on focus, singular focus stuff.
Yes.
And this is how I'm not debating you, but I am saying another way of looking at this is that in my experience with Twitter and all these things, I use this to cement my brand, to cement what was said, to cement relationships, to be durable, to say, remember what we talked about last week? Oh, you didn't get to it. Check it out last week. So it's a way of me helping people reestablish links. They may have missed a show. It's always out there. But I don't necessarily view it as a way of people finding me. You're absolutely right. So tell us, when you shape a story, which is what you're doing, how is it different shaping that story in Google Plus?
It's funny you mention that, because I wrote an article yesterday about the longevity of posts on social media.
Oh, cool.
And there are many great resources out there that explain the lifespan of a post on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest. And on Facebook, a very viral active post has a lifespan of about 2 hours. After 2 hours, it just flows. You know, there's so much content being pushed out, it gets pushed lower and lower and lower. And even Twitter is the same way. I don't know if any of the viewer or listeners actually saw the Oscars, but Ellen tweeted a picture that went viral. It was the most tweeted picture ever. It had 3.6 million retweets. And for those who don't understand, that's just other people sharing the same photo. Uh-huh. But a day after 3.6 million people shared it, a day after, it's done.
So it's like the difference between fireworks and a light bulb.
That's right.
And the switch then is what?
So the switch is ranking and search in Google Plus. It really is. Google Plus posts, and this is where I cemented my business model. Mm-hmm. Every Google Plus post is crawled, indexed, and ranked in Google search.
You know, Jesse, I may know one of the meanings of those words, but you just concatenate them, put them all in one big sentence, and I feel like I'm the invisible woman right now. My ignorance is just profound. You said three words that I barely know. Crawl, search, and what was the other word?
Crawl, index, and rank.
Oh, see, I even had them wrong. Let's quickly just help me. What does crawl mean?
So when Google is looking for content, it has a program that goes out and crawls, much like a spider, it will crawl the web.
Okay.
It will just crawl everything that it finds, and then it finds it, and it basically puts it in a database. It indexes it in a database.
I see. So crawl is picking it up, and then it puts it in a deposits it, yep. Is the indexing.
It's
so
the indexing. And then it decides, how should this rank on Google search, with many, many factors that we won't get into,
mm-hmm.
but... So then it gets ranked in Google search on page 1 or page 20 or page wherever, but that's where people can find you for the rest of time Google remains relevant.
Which we, with some degree of certainty, can say that will be a few number of years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, now we have to lift our content, our conversation, into a slightly different realm. Now that I know how significant it is, there's a permanence hangover here, I'm feeling. You mentioned how quickly these fireworks going on in social media kind of happen and dissolve. What's the statistics for Google Plus postings?
And it's interesting you mentioned that. So with Google Plus, the longevity is a little longer. It's still not a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it is forever indexed and ranked in Google search means that it's however long people may search that keyword phrase.
I get it. So it's that it's a more permanent history. Even if it's not a current history, it's back issues, it's there. Well, you're telling me then that you got to bring your A game when you're playing on Google Plus.
That is correct.
Because fingerprints are there. So how do you manage this in terms of shaping a story?
It can be difficult. There needs to be a strategy. And actually, one of the biggest strategies I had is with the guest we have, Lauren. And I came into the whole process with her and interviewing her and reaching out to her, knowing that you can't just jump on there and start spouting off stuff. Like you said, you got to bring your A game. You can't just go on Google Plus and say, hey, look at me. I'm a cool guy. Follow me, this, that, and the other. It doesn't necessarily work the way it does on Facebook and Twitter. You come up with a strategy as to how you're going to show your expertise, is what I explain to everybody.
Oh, so now I'm seeing a pipeline shift. When I think about the way I and friends of mine work with Twitter and Facebook, it's like, it's light, it's easy, it's almost play. But when you start talking about it displaying expertise, I start feeling this boundary, the sense that, I don't know, I work hard enough. Is this going to be another job for me? And I wonder if you could riff on that. Is that influencing the number of users on Google Plus?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, I'm not alone out there.
No, you're not. And okay. It is. It definitely is. When I actually, many of my friends on Google Plus will only post once or twice a week because they only want to post valuable information. They're not going to post that they're going downtown to eat dinner. They're not going to post that they're sitting at a basketball game. They're going to post statistics like you gave at the beginning of the show, or they're going to post that they got a job offer from a major business in New York, or they were on a radio show.
How cool is
yes,
that?
Yes, exactly.
That's all that matters,
yes,
Jesse, by the way.
That is right. That is exactly right.
So, all right, I'm understanding this, and now we have to move into this story of building story and writing. So I'm going to ask Jesse to cue up Lauren. How did you find Lauren? Why does Lauren, an undergraduate UNC who's pre-med, how does this figure into the work you're doing?
You know, it's funny. This story will forever be told between her and I, and we joke about it. But I worked with a couple UNC students on a social media campaign in the fall of 2012. And the campaign was a journalism class
mm-hmm.
that asked students to use the different mediums of social media to make an idea go viral on campus. And it was called the Buzz About the Fuzz.
And there was also Buzz About the Fuzz.
Buzz About the Fuzz. And then there was another one called the Best Away Game Ever. And so they were competing. They were different sections of the same class. And the one that got more engagement and interaction was the one that kind of won the contest and got the better grade. Well, I worked with the Best Away Game Ever because they reached out to me. They found me on Google Plus, and they wanted to know, you know, this guy's in Chapel Hill. He's got all these followers. How does he do this? And most college students, almost all college students, were not on Google Plus at the time, so they didn't understand. So they came to me, and I noticed that they were effectively using Twitter. They were using Twitter very well on campus because a lot of UNC students have Twitter. Yeah. And one of the accounts retweeted one of Lauren's tweets. She might have won something. I don't know. She can probably explain. I don't even remember. But I was like, it was actually a pretty well thought out tweet. It was funny. It was sarcastic. It was humorous. And I was like, most college students are not thinking about their tweets. They're just tweeting. And so I followed Lauren. And for about a month, I just, you know, she was just somebody on my Twitter feed. Didn't even really pay attention. Just every now and then would pop up. And then she wrote an article and submitted it. And her tweet was something to the effect of, you know, I'm really wary of doing this. I don't know if I should hit publish online or not, but I'm going to do it. And then she posted the article and I read it. And within reading the first paragraph, I knew she was a good writer. I mean, there was just no, having read a lot of bad writing on the internet, I read her article and it was a really good article. But to me, it wasn't even the message of the article, which is interesting. It was the way it was written.
Wow. Now, Lauren Sutton, please welcome to Courage Cocktail.
Thank you.
We need to have your side of the story here. What were you thinking when you were hesitating to hit that publish now button? Where were you?
Okay, well, I had run a Blogspot blog, which is just an online blog, for maybe a couple of months. And when I say run that blog, I mean I wrote maybe a post a month, if that, and they were nothing extensive. They were, I celebrated Thanksgiving with my family, or, you know, various other things that no one was really consuming or reading, and that was fine with me. I've always loved to write ever since I can remember. And so I was at home one weekend. I believe it was Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and I'd had a lot of personal issues going on, and I thought, well, you know, writing has always been a really good outlet for me to release some of that stress. So I sat down and I wrote the article that Jesse was just talking about and was crying by the end of it. And I was looking at it, and the main point of the article was discussing a chronic illness that I suffer from and the difficulties I've had with that. And so after I wrote it, I obviously was very hesitant to publish it. I knew if I published it and I posted it on Facebook or Twitter, which I was not on Google Plus at the time, those were the only two social media outlets that I mainly used, so I knew if I posted it on there that there was a pretty good chance that my family or my friends would read it. And of course, there's always the huge hurdle to jump over there. Do I really want them to read it? Do I want to keep it personal for my sake? And I spoke with my mother and she said, I think your story is worth telling, and I think you should let people read it. So I did, and I posted it on Facebook, and I did tweet it out, and I got very warm responses from my friends, from my family, and they were very, very kind about it, and that was kind of the extent of it. And then I checked the statistics on Blogspot, and I had, I don't even remember how many views, like 50 views, which is not a lot, but for me it was. It was a considerable amount for me, the little blogger from a small town. And so I tweeted out something about my stats. Jesse found it, tweeted at me, and said, would you be interested in working with me? And I'm thinking, who in the world is this guy? I have no idea who he is. I don't know how he found me.
Right.
But yeah, I'm glad he did, because things have only gone up from here. So
you're so humble in this explanation. These stories and writing, good writing, means that people read it, think about it, and it has this echo effect. It can echo it for years. It can echo for generations. And when you have that kind of a gift and that type of insight, the platform doesn't become as important as the message. And I think what I'm learning from Jesse and why this is so important for our listener and why I'm devoting an entire Courage Cocktail about this is that we always need to consider the pipelines for talent. And where do we find places and spaces that new thinkers are emerging, talent's giving some opportunity to present its work, but also how does it legitimize our feelings? You know, the thing, Jesse, that you and I could probably spend hours talking about, and listener will spare you this pain, but is the ever-powerful lens of social media is data. You know where it's gone, who's seen it, how long it's been there, who are those people that are looking at it, depending on which channel you're on. So you have this very nimble and fairly precise tool. How does that change your message? I'll ask you, Lauren.
It is. It's difficult. I think the main problem that I had posting it, and then after speaking with Jesse, and he suggested that he could share it on Google Plus to his huge audience, which was significantly smaller then than it is now, but it was still huge to me. And that was the first thing that I thought about was, this is going to be read by eyes of people that I don't even know. It was hard enough for me to publish it to people that I knew personally and had grown up with. And so I decided to take that leap of faith and to allow him to do that. And you said, how does it legitimize your feelings? I mean, it most definitely legitimized my feelings. I did have people say, you know, it was great writing. Good job. Congratulations. I also had people say, wow, I can't believe what she's going through. And I think that's a risk that you just end up having to take if you decide to do so, is you say, well, it could be received so many different ways, and that's a fear that I still struggle with today. But especially when it's something personal like that, it's a hard thing to come to grips with, but I did it, and it worked out well for me in that case.
You know, Lauren, when you were speaking, I kept on hearing in my head, it's not really what a person is going through. It's really how honest they are about the process, and that this is how it feels like now. It may change tomorrow, but this is how I portray how I'm feeling about it now. And there's a tremendous amount of isolation, social isolation, that I experienced as a patient, but I also see it in ways that when people start moving around the country, you know, my family lived for 5 generations in Canton, Massachusetts, and I left. But I noticed that those links between my family and my parents' generations were very bounded to geography. But the quest for those links, the appetite for staying connected to people, you know, we still had telephones, and now I'm seeing in my daughter's life play out. She was born in New York City. She has many friends with the social media, so those links remain. And I'm beginning to perceive that the human heart needs to maintain connection to people. And whether it's on social media or which channel, everyone will have their preference. It seems that the attendant needs are that we need to feel that I can have a safe space to talk about things or to express myself. And why I think it's so interesting that Jesse picked up here is that, Jesse, your concepts about your business model has been to tell stories about businesses. But Lauren is telling a different type of story. Can you help me understand the disconnect, or to me it's a disconnect?
So when I first contacted Lauren, I was strictly a content creator and copywriter.
Okay, that would explain it.
So I told stories through content. And at the time, I just had a website where I drove traffic through articles related to a specific topic. And over the course of the next 6 months, my Google Plus popularity, I guess, I don't like to use the word expertise because I'm not an expert, But the popularity of my Google Plus profile, businesses reached out to me, and I wasn't forced, but I had to make the choice that, you know, these businesses want to use my storytelling as a business model for them. And I slowly started to work away from my personal website that was just content and copywriting towards helping businesses tell their story. And now it's probably 75-25 businesses with the 75 and 25 with the storytelling with my personal website. But she was a way for, I encourage storytelling through my personal website. And she had an amazing story, and she was an amazing writer. And she was honestly an opportunity for me to see what it was like to start on Google Plus as a female, as a college student, as someone brand new, as someone who nobody knew. You know, this to me was novel, because when I was on Google Plus, I was one of the first ones there. I immediately got 5,000 followers. You know, it was all hunky-dory. And here she is walking in the door, and she's brand new to the party. So a lot of her first articles that she wrote, and I can share those links on my personal profile, was, you know, how I feel about Google Plus after 1 week. How the first month of Google Plus went, how it's different, how this has changed my life.
I feel like we're conducting a clinical trial here.
It was very similar to
N equals one. That's, you're the study design guy, and sorry, you're the study subject.
I was the guinea pig. You're, in this
well, I avoided that, but since you used the word, I was thinking out loud. Okay, but there's a, you know, Courage Cocktail is about risks. And it's about, you know, calculated risk. It's about understanding, you know, well, okay, what do I have to gain? What do I have to lose? And maybe sometimes when it's really right, it's that I see the risk, but the love matters more to me. And so what I want to bring back as we're going to go forward, when we return, I want us to carry this conversation into the realm of what is it you're writing about now? What does it feel like to be in, so to speak, a guest with guts on Courage Cocktail, but even bigger than that, a studies example on Google Plus? And Jesse, you're not checking out for this conversation, because we truly need to understand the dynamic, the women's dynamic, the male dynamic. What, you know, can you help us make sure that we stay safe? And there are a few tips there, because a lot of our listeners are moms and dads, grandparents. And we think that the best way to use technology is to promote truth, but we need to be in safe places to do that. So stay tuned, listeners. Go out and get a glass of hot tea today. I will be back in a little while.
WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an idea for a radio show? How about an interest in engineering or a computer background? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. To find out more, please check out our website, www.wcomfm.org. That's www.wcomfm.org.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail Radio Show. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. You are listening to WCOM FM 103.5, your community-held radio station based here in the heart of Carrboro, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us this week. We also want to take this time to thank our sponsors for supporting this program and our radio station. They are the Triangle Swim School of Cary in North Raleigh. You can learn about their programs for swim safety and children's swim lessons at www.triangleswimschool.com. And also Authors Boutique, a company that helps with all things publishing. You can learn more about them at www.authorsboutique.com. Now, in case you're just tuning in for your midweek, midday Courage Cocktail, we're hosting a show that is featuring two voices talking about one channel, social media, the Google Plus channel. We've spoken to Jesse Wodillo. He is with us in the studio and we're going to continue our conversation. And an undergraduate at UNC Chapel Hill, Lauren Sutton. I want to welcome you both again. Thanks for staying with us and most importantly for helping me understand how these things work. So Jesse, I'd like to ask you so that our listeners will gain some understanding. Jesse has close to over 500,000 circle people in his circles. And how the heck did you get that number?
A lot of people ask me that. And it's an interesting story because when Google Plus first started, there weren't a lot of people on Google Plus. It was mostly Google employees because everybody was on Facebook. I don't need another social network. Why would I be on there? But I saw it for what it was as it related to search and as it related to Google.
And what year was this?
This was March of 2012.
Oh, my goodness. Two full years ago.
At the anniversary. Probably today is probably the anniversary. But I jumped on there, and I had quite a bit of knowledge of how the Google search worked and a lot of the Google products. I was a Google fanboy, to say the least.
Aww.
I had all the Google shirts and the products, and I was wearing the noodle hat. And,
wait a minute. You're an NC State grad, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, the technical realm is emerging here.
Yes.
So, boy, oh boy, I'll protect you. The door's locked. It's okay.
Yes, and I live in Chapel Hill, and I am on UNC's campus all the time.
I guess
so
you're a convert
scary.
In that
yeah,
case.
Yeah, a little. Well, kind of, sort of. Okay. I'm unbiased, I say. But in March of 2012, I started to make connections, and honestly, a couple Google executives saw how active I was on Google Plus, and they reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we see you're big in the sports world. You live next to a major university. Can you work on a few projects with us for free? And I said, you know, why not? The opportunity to work with Google would be wonderful. So I actually participated in a hangout with Tiger Woods. One of my claims to fame is I was in a hangout with the swimsuit models for Sports Illustrated. That can be found online. That was enjoyable. I just took part in a lot of activities related to Google. So they told me, you know, the activity you have and you understand the product, we're going to put you on a suggested user list. So when new users sign up, you will be one of the first users they see. So from that point forward, I add 1,000 new followers. Anybody new signing up to Google Plus has the opportunity to add me because I'm one of the first that they promote.
Now, listeners, and Jesse, I am following you not because Google has told me, but because you're such a thoughtful person. It has nothing to do with that referral. You deserve to be followed.
Well, and thank you. And I will say a lot of my followers are following, not all, not the majority, but a lot of them are following me because I, like we discussed in the first section or first segment of the show, yeah. I do produce content. I right. take photos, I write articles, I try to put my thoughts to paper or WordPress or online somehow. But that is something that, I mean, I think if anybody wants to grow a following on social media, my advice would be create content, whether that be photos, radio, our audio, something, create content, and you'll grow, as you have seen with this show,
you
will grow
that.
A following if you're producing content.
We, you know, I do think I have to fess up to our listeners, and Lauren, I'm sharing this, really, you're the motivation here. Last week, we hosted a show with Maura Horton, who did a wonderful Magna Ready. It's a adaptive clothing company that helps people who can't button buttons. And she's a remarkable woman with a remarkable quest to cure Parkinson's. And in that process, at the same time we were broadcasting, listeners, there were TV people here in the studio. And they were from WRAL. It's a CBS affiliate of North Carolina in Raleigh. It's the largest one in the nation. And we were doing a little showcase called The Tar Heel Traveler. And the reason I'm telling you this is that creating content drew and draws so much talent into this table, into my Courage Cocktail Kitchen. I am purely a frame. And having that beautiful parade of thoughtful guests creating, they're doing their own stuff, has taught me to respect and cherish those among us who can create. And it's for that reason that this particular show, I wanted to talk to you, Lauren, when you speak about the portrait that you're giving on Google+. It's a highly polished something I'd read in The Atlantic, something I would read in the Paris Review work. And is it hard for you to write like that?
It depends on what day you ask me. Honestly, to start out with, most definitely, yeah. I had jumped straight from a format where I was pouring my heart out for whoever would read it to a format where I knew people would be reading it. And we've discussed this before. Google+ is most definitely growing, and it is an all-encompassing social network. But as far as people who are actively posting, you will see a lot of professionals, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of social media experts who absolutely know what they're doing. And if I had to pinpoint my number one fear going into this, I started working with Jesse last January. So it's been a little over a year now. And when I first jumped into it, I think one of the concerns I had for him in the interview was, you know, I'm at this point, I was a 19-year-old undergraduate student, pre-med. I'm not even a journalism major. I'm a biology major and a religious studies major, which don't even really mesh together at a point anyway. And
oh, they do converge ultimately.
They do ultimately, but to most people, they see that combination and think that's very strange.
It's a little disparate.
It's okay. Different, to say the least. But I said, you know, I have no specific journalism background. I don't have any kind of formal training. How am I going to do this? And he told me, well, you have the ability and people will listen. And he was right. So jumping into that with absolutely no experience and not knowing anybody on the website, and as we said before, I was the guinea pig. I was completely new. Nobody knew me. So my main thought was, they're not going to take me seriously. And so that's why, to begin with, I most definitely had to maintain a polished outlook on things. I had to keep a polished personality so that I didn't seem like some random college student coming in here trying to pass myself off as a professional. and that was difficult.
All right. We've got a chat. Now, Jesse, we're listening to this story. And those out there, and my listeners, they know that when somebody starts talking about what it is they love to do, that you're always going to, you're going to summon excellence. It's just part of love. When you love your artwork, when you love your gifts, when you know how to use them, they always get surprises. But excellence is driving the ship. I need to understand again, Jesse. So we've got the storyteller, we've got an excellent writer, we've got a young writer, and listeners out there, and you know people who are out there talented, this sounds to me like a boilerplate for getting noticed fast. Am I right? You're smiling at me, Jesse.
There's no doubt about it. Okay. Social media, there are many talented young writers out there, not just writers, musicians, any skill set. And like you said, we talked prior to the show,
yes.
You're kind of sitting in the back office. You've got an amazing skill. You can play the guitar. You can sing really well. But you don't ever get out of the shell of publishing it for the world to hear or see. And, you know, if Lauren had never hit the publish button on that blog, I probably would have never met her. I probably would have never even said, hey, you're a skilled writer. You know, well, the odds of me finding her previous blog posts were slim to none.
I see.
It's actually getting out there, putting your work for the world to see. And as I have said with many, many people, on personally Google Plus for me, because that's where I spend most of my time, mm-hmm. if you are skilled and you love what you do, like you said, the cream rises to the top. I don't care if you have 5 followers or 500,000 followers. People will find you because skills are appreciated on social media.
I agree so well. And I was wondering, we only get an hour to brew this cocktail, but I'd like your both experiences, which will be clearly, I expect, different. I'd like Lauren to tell me about your experience on Google Plus. I'd like you to be able to define for our listener. I know it was intimidating to hit the press publish button, but is it a safe space for you?
I would say yes. It is a safe space, assuming that you act in a way that you should.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you're online and people only see you from the computer screen, they don't know you in person. They don't hear your voice unless you're producing videos.
Or audio.
Unless you're doing that form of content, they only know you from the written word and from the perception that you give them. And so that was something when I was afraid. I wanted to be taken seriously. And so I worked very meticulously to build up that perception. And then I realized that I am a 19-year-old college student. Yes, I am more mature than most, but I'm still a 19-year-old college student, and I think that's okay. I began using Google Plus as a forum not only for my professional achievements and writing and publishing and all of those sorts of things, but I also, if I went to a basketball game, I would post a picture and I would share pieces of my life that I would like for my following to see so they have a more full image of who I am as a person. And from every experience that I've had thus far, that has been appreciated. It has been well received. Of course, people will disagree with you and people will say that they're not interested, and that's okay. But it has been well received, and I have always felt fairly safe. I don't share anything too personal.
Of course, and I understand that. So do you think you'll be able to convert your generation into, do you have any friends who are falling into Google Plus?
No, I don't. If we're being completely honest, and I think it's important to be honest, I have, like I said, I've been on here since January of last year, and when I first got started and I saw how well things were going, I, of course, was over the moon, and I told my friends, you know, I'm on here, and how is this? And actually, for my first article that I wrote for Jesse, it was a very small case study of what social media outlets my friends preferred. And so I asked around and I posted Facebook statuses and polls and things and asked, you know, if there was a new social network to come out that had everything you were looking for, but none of your friends are on it, would you be willing to make the switch? And I had people comment and say, well, that's Google Plus. I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about, but none of my friends are there. Why would I bother making the switch? And that has proven to be very true. People know that I'm on there. But unless they're coming over to comment on a post specifically because they know that I've made one, they don't have any interest in making that or overcoming that fear, I guess. That's a very small fear, it would seem, but it's one that's very relevant to people.
Jesse, any additional insight?
I agree. I think that at this point in the social media ecosystem, people use Facebook in a capacity to discuss topics with friends and family, and they feel very safe there because they have set a lot of privacy settings. And, you know, yes. many of us have heard, you know, people spend hours adjusting these privacy settings, you know, making sure that only certain family can see it and only certain friends can see it. And when you have lunch, you don't need a second lunch. You know, you have one meal for lunch. You don't have two. And that's the way a lot of people feel is, if I have a social avenue to reach my friends and family, I don't need a second one. So Google Plus is in a tough place because friends and family are already on Facebook. Why are they going to come over to Google Plus? And it, honestly speaking, once again, it has shocked me that a lot of the localized growth is not quicker than it has been. Now, Google's happy with the growth, but to me, I mean, Lauren and myself and maybe a handful of other local Chapel Hill people, when I go to a campus event, when I go to a basketball game or a lacrosse game or a soccer game, maybe two people out of 5,000 are using Google Plus actively. And it is hard, but then again, I see it as an opportunity.
I know nothing about cars except mm-hmm. this one thing that's coming into my mind. It's like, is this the Edsel mm-hmm. of social media?
Yeah, yeah.
And this isn't a put down or a slap to Google Plus. It's saying that when you know, there's got to be some passageway that makes sense for us and younger people to get back into this. And it's not clear in talking to you about if that's emerging fast. With Lauren's help, I see it as a beautiful place to get some great writers and to read fresh writing. But I don't necessarily see it as emerging as where I can find a lot of my friends.
And, you know, maybe that's okay.
Yes.
For Google, maybe that's yes. fine. Maybe it just needs to be an avenue for content creators. You know, there are social networks out there, like Goodreads is one just for readers. You know, mm-hmm. there's social networks just for real estate agents. Maybe Google has said, you know, we can't compete with Facebook for your friends and family. And Google's all about content. You know, Google right. searches about content. We just want to create an avenue for content creators. And we know we're not all content creators out there,
right.
but let's create an avenue for these content creators to connect and converse. And there are a ton. That Google Plus is full of website owners. TV stations are doing Hangouts now, which are live videos. It is a true way to create content. It's just not necessarily the place you go to see what grandma's doing this weekend.
Right. Do you have any thoughts, Lauren?
It has been very difficult when I've been speaking with my friends and even my family, and I say, well, you know, I really am producing a lot of really great things here. You should come and see them. And then they do go see them, but they don't stay. And that's fine. That's okay. And whenever Google Plus originally came out, after the stage of the early adopters and the beta testers and things like that, when it was finally kind of open to the public, a lot of people went over there to check it out and make profiles, and it wasn't at that stage as easy to figure out how to use and how to utilize as Facebook and Twitter were. And so as a result, people left. And I mean, I struggle to accept the data points that you brought up at the beginning of the show for
right.
a number of reasons. I mean, there may be, first of all, from my own experiences, there have been very few women that I have come into contact on Google Plus. I would have guessed we were in the minority. From your statistic, we're in the majority. And that is probably true in terms of profiles. In terms of active profiles, I'm not so sure.
I see. So that doesn't, okay, and this is exactly the advantage of conversations, is that we're allowing ourselves to pick up the words and talk about a real, what does this feel and what is it like to be out there? So you're saying that it's a different experience. And Jesse, is there differences in gender out here?
Oh, yes. On social media, it is shocking to me how the different genders use social media. And
okay.
A perfect
I'll take the bait. But please remember, this is rated G.
Oh,
I don't
no,
understand a lot of stuff. So.
And a perfect example is there is a new word, the number one word in the country last year that came out in Webster's Dictionary is called the selfie.
Yes.
S-E-L-F-I-E. And that is predominantly predominantly female. I mean, this is, you can go search selfie, and all it is, for the listeners that may not know, it's holding your phone and taking a photo with the front-facing camera.
Okay.
And a lot of times, you know, something in the background, people do it with the Eiffel Tower in the background.
Yes.
You know, maybe if they're at an award show or at a basketball game, Lauren did one on Franklin Street when UNC won.
Woo-hoo.
So, but it's obviously very enjoyable for a female to do that. I don't know a single male who has ever taken a selfie. And maybe Lauren knows one. Do you know a single male who has ever taken a selfie?
I can't say that I do know.
Oh, this is fascinating.
So
okay.
This is definitely a different way to use it.
Yeah.
And it's funny for me because I am also one of the few guys I know who use social media to talk about the books I'm reading, to talk about the content I'm creating. And you mentioned at the beginning of the show, predominantly
yes.
female on a lot of avenues of social media. And your listeners are women, mothers, grandmothers,
yeah.
those
aunts.
Yeah, aunts, more aunts than uncles, I'm sure. those are predominantly what is on, and Pinterest is a perfect example. Pinterest is a social network that evolved because women want to share things. And men aren't necessarily as open to sharing things is the way I would explain it.
You know, I'm sitting here smiling because I could go on for a long time speaking to you both about this, and I have to wrap the show up. But I know, Lauren, you're going to shape Google Plus, and I think you're going to make it a little bit more female-friendly.
That's what I've been aiming towards. I like the idea of doing that, and it might be a long road, but I mean, I'm young, so I have time.
And she's a UNC graduate or undergraduate, so yes.
Almost you're a graduate.
Tar Heel. I do not know how to thank the both of you. This was a very free-flowing conversation. It didn't necessarily help anyone who wanted to know the technical aspects of Google. That wasn't the point. The point was to understand the stage and to recognize that there are things that are changing. And listeners, many of you are using social media. That's great. For those among you that are not, it's a huge business. It's clearly shaping the generations that are subsequent to us, so we can't ignore it. And the quicker that we start understanding its importance and how the talent is finding it and how it's finding talent, I think the better off we'll all be. I thank you, Jesse. Jesse, tell us the way we learn more about you.
So my website is actually Wodillo Social Media.
You have to spell that for us.
So it's Wodillo, Wojdylo. And actually, if you go to Google search, and just search Jesse, Woj, I will be the first one that pops up. So you don't have to, just Jesse, Woj. Just remember Woj.
Woj.
And I will pop up.
Lauren, where do we find more about your writing?
You can find my Google Plus profile. It would be plus.google.com.
And is that PLUS or is that the symbol,
yes.
mathematical symbol?
No, that
symbol?
Would be PLUS, the word, .google.com/ the plus symbol, Lauren Sutton. So you can probably put that somewhere where it'd be a little bit easier to find.
I might post that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Facebook. Yeah. But we want to learn more. We'll stay in touch. I'm grateful to you both for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
For building our courage cocktail. Thanks for joining us this week. It's always a pleasure to share each week a learning and something new medicine for vexing problems. Social media, it's not going away, listeners. You may wish it away, but it is here, and I think the best thing to do is to understand how it is we can use it and what are the best things that are going out there and making sure that works. I've enjoyed being with you today. As always, you bring the lunch and I'll bring the courage cocktail. Thank you.